Good morning, everyone. It is great to be here to see all of your noise, all right, excessive noise. It can be distracting. It takes our focus away from what it is that we're focusing on. You've experienced this, right? Maybe you're driving in a new place you're not familiar with, and you're looking at all the street signs, and you got your radio up, and you can't quite figure out what street you're going to turn onto. So to help you decide, you turn the radio down, right? To help you concentrate. I've said before, be quiet so I can see. You ever said that? Or am I the only one? Maybe. Probably I'm the only one. Anyway, but noise confuses us. And it messes with more than just our hearing. It messes with all of our senses. So does this microphone, by the way. We'll figure this out. All right. Let's see if this works. Is it going to work? I might just have to point. Okay, there we go. Yeah. Noise is any sound that disrupts our peace. And when I was looking at this idea of noise, I, of course, went to the internet and found adverse effects of noise, of excessive noise, and what those are and what those could have on you. Boom, let's go to the next slide. So here's some adverse effects. Excessive noise can lead to hearing loss. It can lead to an increased risk of cardiovascular disease or heart disease. And it can lead to psychosocial problems like anxiety, stress, decreased work in the workplace. And it can lead to social aloofness or not wanting to be around other people. And I looked at these three things and I said, hey, that'll preach, right? Excessive noise can lead to hearing loss, heart disease, and social problems. There's a sermon in there somewhere. And so we think about our lives, our daily lives, and our relationship with God and all the excessive noise that we have to deal with. Everything that's coming at us from all different angles, ideas, ideals, thoughts from other people, whether it's the internet or social media, or it could be your jobs or school, it could even be relationships. And people telling us how we should think and what we should look like and what we should own. All of this excessive noise has a bearing on our relationship with God. And all this excessive noise can distract us and lead to these three things: hearing loss, heart disease, and social problems when it comes to our walk as disciples of Christ. Am I pressing the right button? I don't know. That's probably the problem. Anyway. We live right now in the noisiest time in the history of mankind. All right, with the advent of the internet, we have so much information right at our fingertips. And with social media and cell phones and things like that, we can communicate with anybody. And it's really made the world a smaller place. But at the same time, we're overloaded. We're overloaded with information. We're overloaded with communication. And it's caused a lot of us to become distracted by the noise. There's very few moments in our lives when we genuinely can find a time of quiet and peace. And that's the problem, right? Is we get used to the noise. You think about the adverse effects of excessive noise. They don't come from just one or two instances of noise. They come from a prolonged period of noise being involved in your life. Think about working with heavy machinery or being a professional musician, that constant noise. And in our own lives, we get the constant noise, and it becomes a part of our everyday lives. And so, boom. And so when God says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God, he's speaking to us to cut through the noise. Don't let it be a part of your everyday life. Be still and listen to me. Understand that I'm in control. All this other stuff that's going on is you trying to be in control of life. It's of you thinking that you have more wisdom than I do. So let it go, be still, and know that I am God. And so let's look at those adverse effects and apply it to our relationship with God. Hearing loss. When we have way too much noise and we allow it to be a part of our daily lives and we allow it to overtake us, we can't discern the voice of God. Have you had that problem before? I have. What is God actually saying? Is this God speaking? How do I know what the truth is? Because this sounds so much like the truth. Is it noise or is it the voice of God in my life? So we can develop hearing loss. Heart disease. When we allow that noise to become a part of our daily lives and we embrace it, for the most part, our hearts get sick. We don't no longer know what the will of God is, and so we can't separate what our will is from what God's will is. Once again, I've had that problem too, right? Is what I want to do really in line with what God wants to do? I don't know, because I've allowed all this worldly noise to invade my life. And by the way, that's going to be a theme with this, is I'm preaching at myself here this morning too, okay? So please don't think I'm singling anybody out. If you do think I'm singling somebody out, please think I'm singling myself out, all right? But then social problems. When we allow noise to overtake our lives, we don't see the value in other people. We don't look at them as God looks at them, because we're told, hey, they don't matter as much. They look different. They're not as blessed as you are. And we don't see the value that God sees in other people. All right, go. Just think about all the problems in our world. The problems in our world around us are because of excessive noise and because we've allowed that noise to be incorporated into who we are. We haven't been able to be still. Instead, we've embraced the noise. And this is evident, I think, when we go out into nature. Right, my family just took a trip to Colorado in July, and we had... Riley and I got the experience of trying to summit a 14,000-foot mountain. This is my second attempt at a 14,000-foot mountain, and I failed just like the first. But Riley succeeded, right? But here's the blessing in the failure for me was I couldn't go all the way up because I got altitude sickness, so I had to turn around and come back down by myself. Have you ever been on a 14,000-foot mountain in the Rockies? There's no cell phone coverage. There's no roads anywhere near you. There's no cities anywhere near you. There's no noise. And frankly, it can be a little disturbing because we're so used to things playing all the time and hearing things that when you're actually out in a place where there is no noise, there's none of that, you're not used to it. Because that noise has become a part of who you are. But it's a blessing too, right? Because you can see this is the way it's supposed to be, right? It's just supposed to be me and God sometimes, right? I'm supposed to be able to get rid of the noise sometimes and just commune with God. We have to come back to the real world though, right? Okay, we have to climb off that mountain. And we have to be involved with the noise. It's always going to be around us, right? There's no way to get rid of the noise that's around us. So we have to listen. Listen. Listen to what God is saying. And let me propose, I think the best place to start with this is by familiarizing yourself with Scripture. Reading the Bible. Understanding the words of God, the words of Jesus, who He is. When we can go to Scripture, we can hear what noise is going on in our lives, and we can compare it to who God is and who Jesus is, and what they say is right for us. What they say is what God says is His will. What God says about how we should treat and value other people. What God says are His words and His paths. The more you listen to God, right? The more you listen to God, the more noise you can cut out in your life. The easier it is to cut out the frivolous noise, the excess noise. But let me propose to you that that's painful. Anytime you cut something out, it's painful. You lose something. A lot of that noise has become a part of us. It's become a part of our values, of who we are. And especially in American culture. So I tried to come up with an example of this. And try to do it as to where I didn't step on as many toes as I could, right? But understand, too, I'm preaching to myself here, okay? And so I started thinking, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. It's Labor Day weekend, right? Labor Day. And you're thinking, how in the world is this an example of excess noise? Well, let's go through Labor Day, all right? Labor Day became a national holiday in 1894. All right, 1894. And it was a response to the Industrial Revolution. The Industrial Revolution brought about mass production of goods. Okay, it put a lot of people out of work. It gave a lot of people jobs, though, too. But it was low-paying jobs, very minimal pay, with long hours. Employers took advantage of their workers. But it also made a lot of people rich, and it created this idea of the middle class that had never existed before. So there was a lot of people who started businesses that could mass produce things that got rich. But they did it on the back of the workers. So in the late 1800s, something called the labor movement happened, where workers and thankfully some people in power said, hey, wait a minute. We've got to be fair to the people that are actually doing the work. All right? And so wages increased, and people were able to buy things now. They were able to live at a level that the world had never seen before. And it created some values in America that maybe we didn't have before, that wealth and prosperity were the goals. And because we were so wealthy and prosperous, then God must love us. He must have blessed us above all other nations because of the wealth and prosperity. Now, one of the interesting things that came about because of the Industrial Revolution and the social or the labor movement was that clothing no longer delineated the super wealthy from everybody else. Okay? Throughout most of history, the people that had the most were able to afford handmade clothes. Right? And they were fine clothes, but the peasants, the serfs, kind of had to wear whatever they could find. Now, they kind of handmade their clothes, but they weren't nearly as nice. Right? They didn't have the materials that the wealthy people did. So with mass production of clothing, now the middle class could dress like the wealthy. And so you can imagine that was a pretty big deal. We can wear nice clothes. And so the middle class would wear their fine clothes out to any social occasion that they could think of to show off, hey, I've made it. Right? I've made it. And one of those social occasions was church. It's gathering together on Sunday morning. And so you had the middle class and the wealthy that could wear their fine clothing, and you had the very poor that couldn't, which created a divide within the church. And if you go back and read about this, there's a lot of argument over whether it's right or not to wear fine clothing to church or nice clothing, and the divisiveness that might have created at that time. But eventually, like always, the rich and the powerful won out. And so we got this idea of Sunday best. Did you grow up hearing this? That you've got to wear your Sunday's best to church? That God would not be pleased with you if you didn't wear your best clothing? And so we had this idea that men had to wear suits and ties to church, and women had to wear nice dresses to church. And you can see in this picture, I guess that's from the 50s, the fur stoles and the hats and all that stuff. It was an occasion to dress up. But it's not scriptural. It's based on noise. It's based on this idea that the more you have, the more God loves you. And that's so wrong. It's so anti-scriptural. You look, the prime example, Paul writes this to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:9. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly attire. Paul directly addresses this. Don't dress fancy. Because it brings attention to yourself, and it's divisive. And it says that worshiping God is about looking better than other people. And it says that poor people aren't as blessed because they don't have the fine stuff that they can wear. Now, we've taken this verse and we've looked at the word modesty and we've turned it into don't show too much skin. That is not what Scripture means when it talks about modesty. It means not showing off. Not showing how much you have. It's in direct opposition to a very real American ideal that success is based on how much you have. And blessing is based on how much you have. God tells us, though, 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees." The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. When we allow the noise in our lives to take over, and we conflate ideas that are not scriptural with ideas that are scriptural, this is what happens. We start looking at outward appearances and saying, oh, God must do the same thing, when it's clear that God does not look at our outward appearance. The most important thing about you and about me is our hearts. That's what God looks at. He doesn't care how successful you are in your job, as far as a worldly standard goes. He doesn't care how much you have in your bank account. Your status in God's eyes is not elevated because you drive a nice car or you own a nice house. It's not elevated because you have the newest bit of technology. God cares about our hearts. And so success in God's eyes is something completely different than success in man's eyes. You think all these examples of this idea that we've allowed noise to become a part of our lives as Christians, living in the wealthiest country in the world, the history of the world. We've allowed that noise of that prosperity to interfere and overtake the voice of God in a lot of ways. I mean, we look down on the poor as though they're lazy. Even though Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God." We ignore and even blame the oppressed for their situation, even though Jesus came to liberate the oppressed. We've separated people by their race or their color or their skin, even though Jesus came to die for all. We've praised financially successful people. We've dedicated our lives to be the same, to strive for wealth and prosperity. Even though God said that the love of money is the root of all evil. And we've built idols and false gods out of mankind's achievements, even though the first commandment is, "You shall have no other gods before me." We've listened to the noise, and people have suffered. But that's not who we're created to be. It's not who we're created to be. As disciples of Jesus, as children of God, we have got to listen and cut through the noise. We can't allow this noise to give us heart problems, in hearing loss, in social problems. We have to be still and listen to God to cut through the noise of the world. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." How often do we do that? How often do we take the things that we hear, the ideas that we hear, the ideals that we hear, maybe even the things that we've built into our own value system, and take those prisoner and really look at them and compare those to who Jesus is and what Jesus said about who we are and how we should live in this world? I think that's the key, right? I think that's the key of cutting through the noise, is this idea of taking every thought captive. And like I said before, it's painful, and it's hard, because it means that a lot of what we believe might have to change, and change is difficult. We don't like it. But here's what I would love to happen, is that each one of us would really think about what it is that we believe in And you're not too young for this, and you're not too old for this. Think about what it is that you believe in. Go find a differing opinion. Okay? And then measure the differing opinion, not to your own thoughts, but to the thoughts of Jesus. Okay? To Scripture. And see where that idea lines up when it comes to Scripture. This is systemic. Right? It's not your fault. It's not my fault that this has happened. This is systemic. We've all been a participant in allowing noise to overtake the voice of God. But we can change that, and God wants us to change it. Right? Because we're His ambassadors here. We're supposed to be a light to the world. We're supposed to be salt to the world. We're the ones that are supposed to show the world who God is and what His love actually means. And in order to do that, I think we've got to start by cutting through the noise. But don't stop at cutting through the noise. I'd encourage you to fight the noise. Okay? Fight the noise. Stand up against ideas and values and thoughts that are contrary to who God is and who Jesus told us to be. When we do that, we start making the world look more and more like the kingdom of God, because we allow God to work. We can be still and allow Him to work in this world. This morning, if you have anything you need to talk about, if there's things going on in your life, noise that's distracting you, and you want to talk about that with somebody here, if you want prayers for that, if you need help in any way, we have Joel and Peter, our elders, here this morning. You can talk to me, Tommy. There's so many people here that would love to sit down with you. Well, you can do that after we're finished and we're here for you. But think about that as we stand and as we sing.